Spring is in the air at Littleton Coin Company, and we want to help you brighten your collection. Visit us at littletoncoin.com all month long to enjoy 15% off your purchase. With a wide selection of coins, paper money, supplies, and more, Littleton Coin Company has something for every collector's taste. Use promo code SPRING at littletoncoin.com for 15% off your purchase all month long. Restrictions apply. Littleton Coin Company. Serving collectors since 1945.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Real quick before we start the show, just wanted to let you guys know you can get the show 2 days early by joining our Patreon. Even for a buck, you can listen to the show 2 days early. Go to patreon.com/analogtalk and we got a bunch of stuff over there. Check it out and enjoy the episode.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Analog Talk, a film photography podcast. I'm your host, Tim.
I'm Chris.
And today on the show, we have Viviana Magdalena. Hey!
Hey!
Hi, Viviana!
Hey, you guys! Thank you so much for joining us. Obviously, we have a ton of stuff to talk to you about.
I'm so sweet.
But before we do, do you mind introducing yourself to our listeners who may not know who you are and how you got into photography?
Yeah, totally. So my name is Viviana Magdalena Curiel Flores, and I was born and raised in Big Sur, California. So in the Monterey Bay. Loved it there.
Beautiful.
And I got into film photography my first year of college, and it was kind of a happy accident because I signed up for a photo class, but I had no idea it would be film. And somehow I completely forgot about film because, of course, I'm from the 90s. I remember my parents having a film camera, but I didn't really know the depth of it. I just remember having to wait for a couple of days to get your photos back, but that's pretty much it. I had no idea what it was. I didn't know. I had never seen or heard about a dark room. And I'm so lucky. I had like the best teacher ever, Greg Mettler, and he's awesome. He really got me into photography. His classes were great. And the people that he introduced us to photographer-wise, I still look up to. And I don't know, it just changed my life completely. I loved it.
Wow.
I started off originally studying for interior design, but I just ended up also graduating with film photography because photography in general, because I just loved it so much.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's so good.
I love the like before and after moments of like your life before and like your life after photography.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. Totally. You know, very drastic change. And there's so much into film photography. I'm not a really patient person, and this has really pushed me, but in great ways.
Yeah.
And a lot of trial and error with film photography, especially in the dark room, but I wouldn't change it for anything. I love it.
It's funny you say that because I feel like the dark room, I would have, like you say you're not a patient person, like, and you like live in the dark room. I'm like, how? Because I am not a patient person. I'm like, forget it. I'm just going to send my film to the lab. I can't do that. You know what I mean?
Totally. No, totally get it. Definitely developing my own film felt like I was on timeout for a while, just waiting
and
making sure you have to paying attention because it's easy to just drift off and think of something else while you're like, you know, counting the minutes. But it takes time, and it really takes time.
I do love the fact that because we're so like hurry up all the time in our life,
totally,
especially with photography. I mean, now we have it on our phones and this and that. like being able to step away and be like, this is going to be like a zen thing for me. Mm. I'm just going to develop my own film. Yeah. I'm going to watch these prints develop. But you have to like put yourself in that mind frame. Otherwise, you'll just be in the dark room frustrated.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, put on some music. Mm-hmm. Like, this is my time, mm-hmm. you know?
Totally. I mean, sometimes there are days like that, though. The dark room's not always a peaceful day. Even though you try it really hard to start off the day like that, sometimes it ends up not working out, which is okay. And it takes, I don't know, it takes to accept it, you know? Yeah. We don't always have great days in the dark room, but it's still worth it at the end of the day.
Man, it took me a while, too, to slow down. Like, because I got back into photography with, like, digital and how quick the turnaround on something like that is. And then I started shooting my film like that, too, where I'd shoot, and, like, literally get home, throw it in the dark bag, pop the canister open, and start developing it. Like, not even give that time to kind of sink in and... Now that I do that, like now I'm sitting on, I don't even want to say it's embarrassing how many rolls of film I'm sitting on that need to be developed, but it's, I can't wait now though to develop because I don't even remember what's on those rolls. It's so exciting.
Oh, cool. With me, I don't shoot so many photos constantly. So I don't really have that problem of having many rolls because I'm not really that kind of photographer that goes out with their camera. Like I have to think about what the project I'm gonna have. So literally I think like this since I moved back to Mexico, I've been here for like 6 months, I've only had one photo session. Sometimes sometimes it's like every 3 months, or it just depends on the project I have or like the inspiration I have for the photo shoot. So I don't really have that problem with it, which I feel like a lot of photographers might have, like so many stacked up because they're constantly taking photos, which is really cool. I've tried that in the past, like just going out with my camera, but it just doesn't work for me. I don't know why. Mm. Yeah. Or I just end up not wanting to even develop. I don't know, develop or much less scan it. The negative.
Scanning.
Oh, yeah. That one's still big deal.
Yeah. No, it's.
Mm. Yeah.
So back to photography school, well, college. It kind of like, you know, like a Pentax K1000, some black and white film, or how did that start for you? What was the process like with that?
I started definitely with 35mm. I got a Nikon camera. I can't really remember like the model really. I think I only shot with 35mm for like the first 2-3 years, then I jumped into medium format. My first medium format was a Bronica, which I loved shooting with, and that really, once I made the jump to medium format, somehow I just
it changes everything. Yeah.
Yeah. For sure. Yeah. Yeah.
And I think I was during the same time where I started printing with fiber prints. And so, yeah, it's just a whole different level that made me love it even more for sure. But I've always been into portraits. That's what I really like.
Yeah. You got some beautiful, beautiful shots too. I love seeing your work on Instagram. It's great.
Sweet. Yeah.
So tell us about your process then, because if you're not someone who goes out and just will photograph like the street or anything like that, how long does it take you to come up with like a concept and stuff like that? Like, what's that process like for you?
Yeah, it always takes different times. Depends. It can also be like be inspired by seeing someone, or it can be like, normally I do just shoot like photograph my friends or acquaintances, coworkers. So I can just have like this idea going on, like, oh, that person really intrigues me for a photo shoot, but then I need to tie it off with some other elements, you know? So it takes a couple of weeks. And then once I do make the photo shoot, I work on those photos for a very long time because I'm processing them myself in the dark room, printing them. And the materials are so expensive. Paper itself, I really need like every step. It's crucial for me. I need to make sure like what I'm going to develop, I think about it very often, very to like every little detail. So it takes a while. I can work on from that one photo session for a couple weeks or a month, just printing those.
Back to like the zen thing about that. You like knowing you're going to have a project that you're going to be able to work on for that long. Yeah. It's like, it must be super rewarding at the end when you have the finished product. Man, I like that makes me really miss like setting up photo shoots and like going out there with a concept and, you know, executing something. Because like you said, like you can go on the street and, you know, shoot a bunch and hope that there's some really good stuff in there. But if it's not working out, that's like a bummer, you know?
Yeah, totally. And I think for a couple of things that doesn't work for me, like shooting in the street photography or just out and about my daily life, is I'm a very, I don't really want to intrude in anyone's space. So for me, it's really hard to if I'm I'm already interested in people, it's themselves. So I don't really want to go up to someone or try to be sneaky somehow. But like in the past, when my husband and I travel, I do take, I bring along my camera, my film camera, which lately has been my Rolleiflex. I've had it for like 7 years now. And that's the one I always travel with. And I love it. And it's cool because that's, a lot of people don't know or don't recognize a Rolleiflex. So I feel like they look straight at me anyway without me trying because they're so like intrigued. And then, or like I try to just stay one place, stand around and wait for someone to go into my photo. And I don't feel like I'm in their space, but they actually came into mine, you know? And then I just go for it.
I love that.
Yeah.
So that's what I do if I have to take photos out and about. But if I do like being more, I guess, not really in control of the space, but I don't feel so, I don't know what the word is. It feels more free. And like I said, I do photograph friends or people I know. There's a different vibes to it. So, I mean, these are, sometimes there's things go wrong with the camera or like, so you don't feel so pressured, you know? So that's really great. Because it still happens. I mean, I've been taking photos for like 12 years now and somehow something still goes wrong sometimes.
It's the worst. I was just telling Timothy over the weekend, I was home in Connecticut visiting family and my best friend bought a house with his girlfriend. So they had their two kids. So I was like taking portraits of them in front of the house. And like my meter wasn't where I like metered wrong. And it's like, why do I always realize like after I'm like, those aren't going to come out. So I'm like, let me change the role. Let me do this again.
Totally. No. I get it. Yeah. It sucks.
We'll see what happens with those. But yeah, I mean, still, I mean, I've been doing it for even longer and it's still, I'm like, God, come. I've had this meter for 20 years. Why is it where that works?
For sure.
Sometimes those little happy accidents, though, like I live on those. Like I'm such a fan of when, you know, when it doesn't work out, but it works out kind of thing. Yeah. Like a happy double exposure. I've had a couple of those using the RB67 when I was running around doing like street portraits and stuff with that camera. I would have a catastrophe each roll, but sometimes it was amazing. Like I had you know, things just happened that I wasn't
for sure.
I love that stuff. I love it.
Well, I am. That reminds me, like, I don't know if you saw that post of I went to Peru last year and I took my Rolleiflex and I changed the roll of film, but somehow I didn't really notice that I left this little scrape of a piece of paper from my Ilford. So it stayed floating around the camera and it ruined the whole roll. And I went to Machu Picchu. I went to like all these places. These also, when I travel, I don't really like, maybe I take 5 rolls of film and that's all I use or not even. So like, I had a couple of days worth on that one roll, but it just happens sometimes. And it's devastating, but it's okay.
The important part of that is like not to get discouraged. You know? Like you said earlier, like if you're having a bad day in the dark room, you're like, forget this whole thing. I'm gonna throw out all my chemicals. Forget it. You know, you have to like realize that people make mistakes and from all different stages of your career, you're gonna make mistakes.
It
still happens. And just like take it with a grain of salt because the other side of it is way worth more than the mistakes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I wanted to ask you just had a solo show, right? Your first show?
Oh, actually, that one was in 2015. I just made a poster from those. Yeah, so right after college, I graduated in 2014 in Monterey Bay. And I moved back to Mexico where I lived here for many years. My mom, she brought all my siblings here. She wanted us to reconnect with our roots. I'm Mexican. So my whole family's Mexican. Yeah. So, and that really changed my life completely too. I mean, I love Monterey Bay. That's my home as well. But Mexico's so different in so many different ways. Yeah. And it was just amazing being here. And we started taking like all these art classes and dance and everything. And it was just a whole different lifestyle. But we moved back to the Bay Area when I was older, as a teenager, like 17 on. And after college, I came back to Mexico. So I've been back and forth a lot. But during that time, I worked at an art gallery. I built a dark room at my mom's place. I was also doing my photography work there, but working at art gallery. And they were really cool. They let me have a show there, which was my first solo show. And there's also Redelative Prince. And it was amazing. Yeah, it was really, really great experience.
There's nothing like that, though, like being able to show your work off, and especially when you're printing it yourself. Mm-hmm. Like I did a little series like that years ago. The little Ilford, what are they, like 4x6 postcards?
Oh, cool.
I did like a postcard series.
Oh, nice.
And had such a blast doing that and just showed the postcards and just knowing that each print was made by mm-hmm. hand and then made like a little zine out of it and
cool.
stuff. It was just a really fun project. Mm-hmm. I love showing work. I need to get back on it. I need to figure out where the cool kids are at here, where I'm at.
I'm on the same boat.
Back.
I'm trying to do the same. Yeah, for sure.
Yep.
For sure.
Yeah, I've never, I mean, I had my work up in Barnes & Noble
oh,
one time.
Nice.
Hey, that's huge.
That's really awesome.
Like a long time ago. Yeah, I know. It is a great feeling. And we've had the last couple of guests who've been on have had shows and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, man, I need to come, like we talk about projects. Like I need a project that can turn into something like that. Cause I would just, even if it's at another Barnes & Noble or at like a bookstore,
yeah. Yeah.
You know, nothing crazy, but just having your work like display like that has got to be so rewarding.
It is. It's a special
yeah.
moment. It's like
yeah.
a little party.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And especially when people that, you know, of course you got your core group of like friends mm-hmm. and parents that come and
yeah.
love what you're doing and are going to support you regardless. But when you have like, you know, the random couple that comes in and they tell you that you have an eye or something
yeah.
like that, like
mm-hmm.
it is so fulfilling.
For
it's
sure.
like, really me?
Mm-hmm.
I do?
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's pretty special. Yeah.
It is. Mm-hmm. It's awesome. Chris, come on. Get on it. Get on it.
Yeah.
All right. Get to work.
Do it.
Project written down.
So cool.
So are you working on anything right now? You got any like projects going mm-hmm. on or mm-hmm. what are you doing?
Right now I'm printing a lot from I'm going actually through like my older work, much older work.
Okay.
Yeah. Because when I came back, I had a lot of my darkroom equipment and some of my really old negatives in storage. So it's been cool going through
okay.
that.
My, oh, wow.
And
yeah, yeah.
Kind of comparing, I've been seeing like my older prints. And of course, there's things I criticize from that. Like, oh my gosh, like the print work and everything. So it's cool
uh-huh.
to go back
yeah.
and see how I would do things differently. But no, pretty much last year when I was still in California, I was working on like one project, which I was still putting together, like it's all these portraits. But it's interesting because when I knew I was working on something, but I didn't know what I was working on, if that makes
yeah.
any
yes.
sense whatsoever.
Yes.
I mean, I've
totally.
Had like mentors be like, well, you need to know what you're doing. I'm like, but I don't know what I'm doing.
But,
I'm
yeah.
just enjoying
yeah.
it. I'm going for the ride and seeing what happens. And then once you see like the whole collection together, it starts making sense, you know, it's just like, and it's
yeah.
more special and it kind of opens your eyes in different ways. Like, oh my gosh. Okay. You know, it's like I love that type of movement for it. But, so that work was completed and I'm really happy with it. So right now I'm just trying to like work to see like, where can I show it? And it has to be, it's a project I really love and I'm kind of picky about where I want to show it and
right.
how I'm going to showcase it too. So that's, I think I haven't moved on to newer work because I haven't showed this collection
yeah.
to people
oh,
yet. So like,
okay.
so that's why I'm
yeah.
kind of going back to old photos and working on that, if that makes any mm. sense. Yeah. kind of. Yeah.
That's like
totally.
Another great,
totally.
Great thing about like having a dark room and having like a solid archive.
Mm-hmm.
You can,
yeah.
you can kind of just go through, because you say you don't shoot that much, but if you have like a bunch of, you know, stuff in your archives,
yeah.
you can be like, okay, today I'm going to go revisit this project or this period or this time
mm-hmm.
and just have your zen time in the darkroom, hopefully, if it,
yeah,
nothing
yeah.
goes wrong.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
That's like what I miss the most about, I had a little makeshift darkroom when I first got into photography and I missed like just being able to be like, I'm here, leave me alone. Like,
mm-hmm.
this is my
yeah.
time, you
oh,
know?
Yeah.
And your dark setup like looks like a dream. Like
oh,
we
want
to
amazing.
Talk to you about your dark room
yeah.
for sure.
Thank you. It's been changing. It's been going through many stages, but I think it's almost pretty much complete now. Yeah. I'm really happy
it's
with
amazing.
It for sure. Mm-hmm. But like setting up my dark room, like I said, I had many things here already in storage and then I got some more items back home in California. But during the time I was gathering things for my dark room, which was like back in 2014, I don't think film photography was coming, was kind of popular back
yeah,
then, like
then.
It is kind of now. So
yeah.
people were just getting rid of things. And
right.
Yep.
Or if I did have to buy something like on Craigslist or eBay or whatever, or like Facebook Marketplace, normally there would be more things they would want to get rid of too. So that was really easy.
Right.
I mean, the most expensive thing I've had to invest in my darkroom has been the materials, just the photo paper and the chemistry. Everything else is really lucky. I just like got super cheap or gifted. And still even now, like I was so excited. I was gifted this like really cool drying rack that used to belong to Reva Brooke. She was a photographer. I think she passed away like in early 2000s, but she was a Canadian photographer who moved here to San Miguel de Allende, where I'm living. And she had her own dark room, and I went to check it out, and it was amazing. Her house was gorgeous. Oh, wow. Her husband was also an artist. I think he was a painter and musician. But she had her own dark room section. It was gorgeous. Of course, it's empty. There's hardly anything there, but I was able to get things from there, you know, which is awesome. The drying rack, because they really wanted it to go to another film photographer in the community, and I'm pretty much the only one here.
No. Yeah, I mean, that's so lucky because, can you imagine if it was like just thrown out?
Or, oh,
like,
I know. God. Yeah. And it's in great condition.
I'm so glad it went to a good home.
Yeah. So I'm super happy. So, like, that's been the newest addition to my dark room. And I'm
amazing.
Yeah. Super, super happy. And I got a lot of photo paper. Some was brand new, but I mean, from more than 30 years ago. I didn't have hope that it would work, but
So
a couple of weeks went through trying out that paper. So, yeah, I didn't get really any luck from that. But still, maybe for like lumens or like any alternative process type of work, maybe.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, I have a box full of stuff like that that was from like the 70s and 80s that my little photography guru gave me. Just boxes of 8x10s and 5x7s of stuff that like I wouldn't use for anything like super precious. But yeah, like experimenting or doing something crazy would be fun to do. I was going to ask you, being in Mexico now, is it harder for you to get supplies and stuff, or is it just about the same, you know, from living in the States?
Yeah, it is a little harder. I haven't had to buy much yet because I did stock up before I moved, because I actually moved on. We hired a moving company. We brought all our furniture down here too. So I stocked up on, I ordered a lot from B&H paper chemistry. So I haven't really had to try so much, but I've noticed things are more expensive for sure. Some things are like triple the price, which was already expensive. So if things were difficult back then, like thinking really like what you want to print, now it's even more. But yeah, I'm fine with it. I'm used to it. And just, but so it is, it's more expensive. That's the only bummer.
Do you find that the price point like that, will that like freeze you? Because sometimes like shooting film, you can get in your head about like, especially when Kodak was like, or the prices were crazy and you're like, well, I'm not going to go waste it.
Oh, for sure.
Do you feel like sometimes you're in the darkroom or you're doing a project and you're like, I get stuck. Like, I won't take a photo because I'm like, it's not worth it.
I see.
But like, it could be worth it. You know what I mean? Totally. Like, but I just am in my head about it.
Totally. Well, since I feel like I'm already so picky. I can't get you more. I wouldn't shoot at all because it's like every 3-6 months that I might shoot. But no, it hasn't affected me yet. Maybe like printing copies. I try to always like when I make a print, I'll do like 5 copies. Maybe now I'll just make 3. You know, not so many.
Okay. I see.
Yeah.
But you can make like, that's like a good way to do. I mean, not a good way. I don't mean it. I'm just saying like limited edition prints.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it is what it
is.
You know.
Totally.
Make it more rare and sought after.
Yeah.
It's definitely slowed me down. Like the prices of things have really kept me from, and I used to love just blowing through rolls of film. Like I'm like the complete opposite. You know, I take 3 cameras with me wherever I go. I'm always shooting stuff. I'm the guy with the camera all the time now. And like, I have really slowed down, you know, just because of the price. I blew through my first little brick of the CineStill 400D and I was like, oh, I'm going to have to get more.
Yeah.
Like, that's expensive. Goodness. All right. Totally. I'll slow down a little bit.
Totally. Or like I noticed just the maintenance of the camera too. Like I just had luckily I still had like a warranty on my camera because I just had it cleaned like a year ago, but I had to send it off to the same person in the US, but just mailing it from here over there was like $300. I was like, So, yeah. So it's, sometimes it's not just the materials. It's also your camera.
Yeah.
Right.
Totally.
You know, but somehow we still love it.
That's right. Oh,
I can't. I can't stop now. Mm-hmm. I mean.
Right. Yeah.
Yes. Somebody, like we've been asked this question before, or we've asked guests, if film photography went away, would you still like make photos with digital?
Oh, that's such a good...
What's your answer?
Oh my gosh, that's such a good question.
I want to know, because your whole... That's like...
Yeah.
That's a big one for you.
I don't know. Like, but honestly, I'm not sure. Like, I do remember I had to take like one semester of digital photography in college, and I did not like it at all. Just sitting at the computer, I was like, no, like, never mind. Like, you know, like, mm-mm. So I don't know if I had to do that. I honestly don't know. Maybe not. Maybe I'll take up something else or appreciate other people's work. I don't, because for me, it's just working in the dark room, feeling the camera, the film itself, and hearing the sounds and being, so I don't know. Maybe in tomorrow I'll answer something different, but right now, I don't know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's so true.
What do you guys? What do you guys think?
At least you have your archive, though. Yeah. At least you have your archive to print and work on for a while.
Oh yeah, totally.
Timothy, what do you think?
I don't think I could do it.
Okay.
I mean, I've tried to give myself like little digital camera challenges every once in a while, just because I'm an over editor when I sit down with digital files too. Like, I'll get in there and I'll just edit the crap out of it, and it looks so fake and so bad. So no, I rely too much on like the spontaneity of film and that kind of stuff. Maybe I'd just work on printing my archive as well.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
What about you,
I mean,
Chris?
For me, because I am a working photographer and my job is digital.
Oh, okay.
And I used to shoot a lot of bands and musicians, like promo photography, and that was all digital before I found film. So I remember like setting up lights and like coming up with a concept and shooting it digitally and having a you know, being really happy with the end result in that era of my career. But I think like all of my personal work, like I love shooting my kiddo on film, like all the stuff that's for me is on film. So I don't know that I would do, like, I think it would just be iPhone snapshots. It wouldn't be if there was no film. But I think, I mean, definitely we still have the career, but I think I would have to shift back into that, like, I'll shoot more bands or actors or stuff like that, where I could set up a concept shoot and shoot it on digital. Don't hate me, everybody. No. I still love film.
You're in a different boat, though.
I mean, you're a working photographer
that needs that.
But
tool.
I just love the medium of photography as a whole so much that I don't know that I could just let it go. I definitely would be heartbroken, and there would be a huge chunk of my process and my photography that would be completely different, but I think I would have to shift. Yeah. I just don't see it. I don't see a life without photography, personally.
Yeah.
That's true. Looking at it that way, like a life without photography would be pretty sad.
Yeah.
It would. Yeah. I'm true.
I don't know what else. Maybe I'll pick up an instrument. I've been wanting to play guitar forever. Maybe I'll, like you said, find something else, you know? But hopefully, film gods, please don't punish us. Please.
I think we'll be okay for a little while.
Yeah.
Hopefully, yeah.
So, Viviane, I know you have a zine. Do you have any like plans for like a bigger, like a book or something down the line, like on a larger scale?
Oh, I would love that. That would be awesome. That would be great. I'm just thinking, scanning all more, so many more negatives.
you like went right there, like, oh God.
Yeah. Well, like, for example, I'm trying to work on a new zine of like my travels, not just portraits. So it's something different. Mm-hmm. But, I'm still in the process of scanning all these negatives, so hopefully that's something else I'm working on. But a book, that would be amazing. I love buying books for my favorite photographers and just going through them. It's such a beautiful feeling, and I would love to do that one day. But we'll see.
And there's something else about like it being a book that feels totally different. Mm-hmm. Not that we don't love zines.
Yeah.
That's like a career goal too. Like have a little show and then have a little book. Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Yeah. So it's in the plans. Hopefully in the future for sure. But I've only made one zine, and it was fun. I'm excited. So I had a good experience. So that's why I want to kind of do another one too. So hopefully soon.
Yeah. Amazing. That's another fun process and exciting, getting to, you know, pick the shots, you know, all the behind the scenes stuff of scanning and all that computer drama is obviously worth it in the long run once you finally get through and you put something together that you're proud of.
For sure.
Do you ever go back to interior design at all? Is that ever a thought in your mind?
No, well, not as a career. I mean, I love being a homebody myself. Mm-hmm. I love my environment and decorating. Yeah. And so, I mean, it's very important to me. And I appreciate home decor a lot. Like, it's something that always catches my eye and makes me feel a certain way. Like, it's just great. And so, just in that sense, I always try to make my home beautiful because I'm in it all the time. So,
So, in that sense,
pretty much.
Yeah, I just always get curious when, you know, when you have one path in mind.
Oh, yeah.
And you switch to another, do you like completely shut off the second part or do you? Because I always talk about it on the show, the like internal battle of like music or photography. Or I went to Michael's the other day and bought some stuff to maybe start painting again. And it's like,
yes,
where do I find the heart and the passion and the time? Because I feel like I just have this internal battle of like I'm cheating on photography, like it's a loved one or something if I do something else. Or like, it's really weird. Like, I should probably talk to a therapist about it. But like, there's always this.
Yeah. I've never felt film photography to be possessive. So I feel very free to do other things if I ignore
it.
Yeah, if I ignore it for a little bit because I'm obsessed with like a book series, I don't feel too bad. Or like, I've been trying to like watercolor a little bit. I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm enjoying it, you know? I feel like it's okay.
I think as creative, being a creative, Timothy, you kind of have to like let that go because, you know, like if it's another creative, you know, path pulls you, you can't.
Yeah.
You just got to let your creative juices go. And
maybe it'll help you with photography in some way. Maybe it'll inspire something else within.
Totally.
Yeah.
Damn it. All right. I'll try again.
So good. So I saw that you offer workshops.
Oh, yeah.
I was thinking, like, I would love to go to one. But just because, like, I'm so far removed from the darkroom that I feel like I'm somebody who could benefit from, like, let's start at the beginning.
Yeah.
You know, how talk us through, like, what's a workshop with you like? Like, what's the process like? Do you get a lot of people who are beginners? Someone like me who's been shooting forever, but just had them in the darkroom forever?
Well, in the past, because I just started giving the workshops. I've had people contact me, but I haven't had any workshops start yet. The ones I did was back in 2014, actually. And I had a little bit of everything. Like, I had some people just visiting, send me in. So they're just here for like a week. I mean, you can't really do much in a week, but we had enough to like shoot with my Rolleiflex and maybe develop the rolls of film. It just depends how long you're here for. But yeah, like people seeing for the first time, like developing their film and seeing that they can do more with it is amazing, you know?
Wow.
And I have had a lot of younger people taking the courses, so I think they're going through the same thing I did back in college. Like, what is this?
Yeah.
Like, it's amazing. And so it's always been shorter workshops. And it's really like you try to cramp everything you can, but really you also make it really basic and understanding the camera, how it works. And my biggest hope is to end the class, I mean, the workshop with printing one RC print or, so that's like always the goal and seeing the excitement there. So, but I haven't had anyone take a course since I moved back. So I've just been me in the dark room, which is, I can't complain.
I'm okay.
But
I feel like the darkroom stuff is a process that we do need to share and really continue. Cause that, man, how sad would that be if it just kind of went away? I've been struggling to find, I talk to Chris about it all the time. I've been, you know, since I moved and moved again, like I haven't set up my little, you know, dark room since then. And it drives me crazy because I used to love that next part. Like there's a whole other world after developing the rolls of film and seeing your photos that I think we just don't grasp anymore because of, you know, they all go to the phone or the computer and that's it. Then that work kind of just goes away unless you do like a book or a show or something like that.
So
I love hearing that, like, community dark rooms are popping up again, right, yeah, and stuff like that. Like, I'm just glad. And I'm glad that you, your dark room, yeah, and stuff, you're sharing it, because it's so intriguing to people, yeah, that don't.
Yeah. And just also, like, I'm up for sharing the space with other photographers that are very experienced with film photography. But I feel like we were talking earlier about how expensive it is. Like, it is almost twice expensive, or almost triple some of the chemistry here. So, like, I also get, like, it might be more difficult than I thought for others to, like, just jump into it. But I don't know. Hopefully it changes. But I don't know how that I don't know if it'll get any cheaper. Who knows? If that helps.
There is really nothing like watching a print develop in front of your eyes. No. Oh, yeah. Care.
And the feel of it too. Like, especially fiber prints. I just,
Yeah, I saw that you were showing off your fiber prints, and I was like, oh man, that's like next level.
Oh, I love it.
I just even buying somebody's art when you hear that, like, oh, it's a darkroom print. I'm like, I'll pay more. You know what I mean? So great.
Do you get into any color stuff, or are you strictly black and white?
I was wondering if it was going to be you or me that was going to ask her that question.
You know, I've never tried color. What? Never. Wow. I've never shot a roll of color, much less developed a roll. I know the chemistry is different, but no, I've never tried. And I've had people ask me in the past, and I honestly don't. I think I'm just intrigued with black and white. I love it. Wow. I don't think in color. Like, if I'm going to take a photo, it's more like patterns or the person itself. But the color doesn't.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm seeing it in black and white already, but no.
It's like Timothy. Look, he's black and white right now.
I know.
Yeah.
it makes me a little sad, because I was a black and white all the time shooter. I can't tell you the last time I shot. I mean, I think I have a roll of like Tri-X in my point and shoot that I always carry with me, but I've been shooting so much color lately that
interesting.
It's all I shoot. Wow. It's all I shoot. And I love, because I like, if I scroll back in my like Flickr feed or like my Instagram feed, and I'm just looking at all the black and white stuff, I'm like, these feel right. You know, the color stuff, I just don't feel the hit rate like I did when I would flip through. It's weird. It's weird. And I really miss it. I miss shooting black and white. Oh, I miss it. But I feel like I have to be shooting color for whatever I'm working on right now. It just needs the color. Mm. And I miss it.
It's funny because you said that the role that I kind of messed up, but I was like, okay, no, I'm going to put black and white in. And when I put the black and white in, I was like, I don't know if I'm going to like these as much, but I know when they come back, I'm going to be like, black and white is where it's at. I just mentally, I'm like, color, color.
Interesting.
That I don't always reach for black and white. I'm going to start like doing that more often. And your work has definitely inspired that.
That's awesome.
I love it.
Oh,
that's sweet. I mean, when I see color photography on social media, I love it. I think like, wow, it's so beautiful. Like, I wouldn't have taken that photo because I shoot black and white. But I appreciate it. But somehow I'm not drawn to it myself to do.
Mm-hmm. Do you think it's like, I'll tell a story. my husband's really like best friend. He's never had a piece of pie. Like, he's never had pie. and he's at the point where like, he's like, I'm not going to try it now because it's kind of like his thing. He's never had pie. You know what I mean? So we're like, what about if your last meal, like, would you try it? And he's like, what does he say? He's like, I've never had like black tar heroin, but like, why do I need to try that? You know, I'm like, because crazy. It's apple pie, dude. That's why you have to try it. Anyway, so I'm like, do you feel like one day you're just gonna be like, you know what? I'm going to try Portra 400. Or are you kind of like, no, black and white's my thing. I'm not going to do it.
That's
a weird story. Ask that
I
question.
Love it. No. No, I think for sure. Maybe at some point I'll try it. Maybe just to see. Just so I can say, yes, I
because
have.
Then, because know? Then, because then you can't say, no, I've never shot color.
Yeah,
you know?
Totally. It's okay to try something different. I'm okay with it. Okay. Normally, I mean, I don't know when. It can be in like 40, 50 years. Not like, you know, I won't say never, though.
That'll be the day. We'll be like, Viviana shot color.
exactly. Also, I'm already thinking about the project, though.
take a while. Start now.
What black and whites are you shooting? Like, what is your to-go-to stock?
I really like Ilford Delta, and I also use Kodak T-Max a lot. So, I mean, those have always been my, like, go-to. I'm not really picky. I don't, I'm not really a, I've used it once, loved it, and haven't, I don't really explore with other ones.
I love T-Max. T-Max is like, I hate to say that because the Tri-X gods are weeping.
I was going to say, I'm a Tri-X girl over here.
There's just something about that, like the T-grain, like it's so smooth, especially if you're shooting like 100 ISO and in large format, I feel like it's like completely different too.
So cool.
I don't know. T-Max. Love it.
Is that?
I just said that. I was answering somebody's poll on something and I was like, T-Max is my favorite.
No, that's good to know. That's good to know.
We'll be right back with the listener question for Viviana right after this message from our sponsor.
Spring is in the air at Littleton Coin Company, and we want to help you brighten your collection. Visit us at littletoncoin.com all month long to enjoy 15% off your purchase. With a wide selection of coins, paper money, supplies, and more, Littleton Coin Company has something for every collector's taste. Use promo code SPRING at littletoncoin.com for 15% off your purchase all month long. Restrictions apply. Littleton Coin Company, serving collectors since 1945.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Just wanted to pop in here quick and let you guys know about our Patreon-only Develop and Hang Nights. Now, we've done a bunch of these already. They're a ton of fun. We talk shop. We develop some film. We laugh. We also try to get a former guest for these. So if that sounds like something you're interested in, head over to patreon.com/analogtalk. Like we always say, Patreon is the best way to support the show.
All right, guys, it's a part of the show where we take a question from one of our listeners. This week's question comes from Ahmed K on Instagram. Hi, Ahmed. His question is, you manage to capture a sense of intimacy that the viewer can immediately pick up on. Even your self-portraits reveal as much. How do you manage to push your portraits beyond what's sitting at the surface and expose the unseen?
That's a great question.
Zesty question.
Yeah.
When I get into taking the photograph, like, there was already so much to get to that point. Putting everything together, the details, the person, or if it's self-portraits, which is also very difficult for me to take. It's just very different when you actually take someone else's photograph. I guess I just, well, in general, photography for me is accepting the other person you are, like not the person you are on the daily basis of like putting your best self out there. It's okay not to be that person. So it's freeing. And that's pretty much what I do. Like, I don't have to be that part of myself, you know, and it's okay. And that's pretty much what I try to do, you know, because it's really ultimately I make this photograph for myself, you know, and sharing it is the last step, you know. So it's a really more of the experience. And that's what I'm doing. What I'm doing at the moment, not sure. But I'm okay with it.
Do you feel like your subjects can pick up on that? Like, do you think they can tell and like feel safe in front of your lens, you know?
Yeah.
Because there's also like, if the photographer has got weird energy or like if I'm nervous and I'm like, I know my subject's going to be nervous. Like, do you feel like
totally
you're able to like put them at ease because of that?
I definitely try to. And that's the cool thing about like, I do take photos normally of just friends or acquaintances or people that already know me. So I'm trying to also make it easy and kind of fun because like it can be weird because they're not really models. It's their first time really in a space like that. And I do know, like, I have to give them scenarios of, like, what I'm expecting, kind of. And, like, normally it's always, like, not just, like, just be sad or angry. But like, sometimes it's easier with others. They already have this. And I think that's why I'm drawn to them, first of all, you know. Other people can be a little bit more nervous. And so we just, like, I try to put images in their head, like try to feel this way, or this is kind of like, you know, It's always easier to take photos of someone like the second or third time. It's more framed and more comfortable for both. But definitely, I think it helps that we already know each other. I hardly ever have taken photos of like a stranger. So maybe that helps. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
It's just so crazy to me that you can present an emotion or a feeling out of a picture of a tree or a house
for sure.
Or a portrait. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's wild because looking back on, you know, just the last couple years since moving back to Pennsylvania from, you know, the whole COVID thing and all that stuff, like moving back home, I see this, like, I see what I'm feeling in the photos that I'm shooting. It's just weird that art is like that. Like, it's so crazy that you can project a feeling through a song or, you know, probably a little easier with lyrics and music. You can project that. But with like a photograph, it's, you can see it and it's just wild that you can. And then to share that moment with somebody that's a friend or a model or, you know, it's just what a cool thing. What a cool experience art is.
It is.
To dumb that down into.
It truly is.
Art's cool.
It's true.
Art's cool. You should do it.
Yeah. Definitely. Oh, it's just great. Like, what a relief. I mean, everybody that's listening, us, you know, you just get so much from being able to do something like that. It's great.
Yeah. But yeah, I love that question.
Great question. Great answer.
That was good.
Love it.
That
was love
good.
It. Love mm-hmm. it. Okay.
All right.
It is time for the really hard question. Maybe not.
Maybe not.
If you had to, you're stranded on a desert island, so you only have one camera to use for the rest of your life, what would it be and why?
It would definitely be my Rolleiflex too. Yeah.
Okay, stop off for a second.
Yeah.
For a second. You went with the Rolleiflex. Yeah. Great answer.
No, I love it. It can be not always easy to shoot with, but, and it has its own meter, so that's awesome. I use it all the time.
Oh. Yeah.
Bless a good meter.
Right? Mm. Yeah.
Yes.
No, I think I'll have that camera for the rest of my life. I love it.
Which version do you have? Is it the 2.8 or is it 3.5?
It's it's a 3.5. Yeah. And it's the Rolleiflex T. And it's gray. I love it. I've had it. I bought it.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah. I was like, it's also, yours is really pretty.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah,
thanks.
It is.
My Yashica A is gray. Mm, and I think that they're like, the gray TLR is like.
Yeah. Definitely. No, it's
so pretty.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you shoot any 35 anymore?
I haven't in a very, very long time. Yeah, I think since like the beginning of my journey with film photography. Not once I started medium format, that's all I've done. I want to do large format maybe one day, but medium is my favorite.
I could see you going down the large format.
Oh, I love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Rabbit hole.
That'd be cool.
They're fun.
Okay, second part of this question. Is there any cameras that you really want right now? Any white whales? Anything you're like scrolling eBay? Like, ooh, if I could just get this camera.
The Hasselblad, I've always been curious about that one. It's like, gorgeous. And the photo, I follow other photographers on social media and they have one. And it's like, their photo, it's like always so exciting. I have to stop and watch their reel or like, it's so mesmerized. That would be pretty cool.
Yeah, it's definitely in my top three cameras, I would say. It's something I wanted for a long time, and it's the only medium format I gravitate towards when I'm shooting. Well. So it's a goodie. Great answer. Love that answer.
Yeah.
I got excited when you mentioned yours. Like, well.
Well, I want one too.
Yeah, we should all
get one. Yeah, I've never shot one. I need one too. Yes. I've been looking at them again too. They're not as expensive as, you know, they're expensive, but they're not like.
They're like at least $2,000,
I feel like I'm like.
At least,
That's a little bit of the soul to sell to get one of them.
Maybe.
But if you love the feel of that, like, crank when you take a photo and the slap of that shutter is just, like, unreal.
It is.
Swoon.
Hopefully.
Swoon. Oh, my gosh. Viviana, this has been fantastic. Aww. Thank you.
Thanks
thank
for
you,
having
thank
me.
You for hanging out with us. This is so fun.
Oh, and sweet.
You've inspired us. Like, I like want to shoot more black and white. I'm like, I want to make a darkroom print. I'm like there again. So thank you.
And whenever you come to Mexico and you think of coming to San Miguel, well, then use my darkroom.
Definitely.
It'll be fun.
I would love it.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Where can everybody check you out? You've got an awesome presence on Instagram, but is there anywhere else? You want Threads? Do you have a website?
I do have a website. It's Viviana Magdalena Photo. It's linked on my Instagram, and I have TikTok. I'm trying Threads. I'm still trying to work. See?
Yeah.
It's pretty new to you. Yep. Still pretty new. But yeah, mainly Instagram's like where I'm really excited and grateful. A lot of people are into like this whole little film community. Also, I mean, I've had Instagram for like years, at least like a decade. And just this last year or two, it really like, once I started sharing the darkroom process, people have been really into
That's
it.
What so I'm like, well,
yeah. And it's cool. And luckily, I've had a lot of really nice people, sometimes not so nice, but you know, it's, I'm still enjoying Instagram and sharing it.
Oh, good.
So that's, yeah. Good.
Amazing. Okay. Timothy, where are you?
Guys, Instagram, Threads, at Timothy Makeups. Got some older YouTube stuff you can check out. Easiest way to find that, just go to the search bar, type in Timothy Makeups, timothymakeups.com. That's it for me. Chris, where are you?
So I'm Crispy Photo on all the things, Twitter, Instagram, Threads, blah, 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 YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
too many things. We are Analog Talk Pod on...
No, we're just Analog Talk Podcast. Not.
Oh, yeah, Analog Talk Podcast.
Yeah.
My bad. There's too many things, see?
Too many things.
Viviana, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
This has been so fun.
Yeah.
Thanks.
All right, guys. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
All right. First off, Kristen, I would love to thank Viviana for coming on the show. You have such a great story. We can't tell you how much we love watching your darkroom videos and just how inspiring they are. We love what you're doing. We love your work. We can't wait to see what the future holds for you. And thanks again for coming on the show. Guys, that's going to take us to Patreon. Head over to patreon.com/analogtalk. For only $1, you can get the show 2 days early. We also have our Patreon-only develop and hangs over there and a bunch of stuff in the archive. Like we always say, Patreon is the best way to support the show. And for the Patreons who already support the show, guys, you know who you are, and we can't tell you how much we appreciate you guys and how much it means to Chris and I. We thank you so much. Again, head over to patreon.com/analogtalk. That's going to wrap it up for this week's episode. Hope you guys are doing well. We got a bunch of shows lined up in the works here. Exciting times. We'll see you next week with an all-new episode. Take care. Keep shooting. See you soon. Later.
Spring is in the air at Littleton Coin Company, and we want to help you brighten your collection. Visit us at littletoncoin.com all month long to enjoy 15% off your purchase. With a wide selection of coins, paper money, supplies, and more, Littleton Coin Company has something for every collector's taste. Use promo code SPRING at littletoncoin.com for 15% off your purchase all month long. Restrictions apply. Littleton Coin Company, serving collectors since 1945.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.